Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up this week. I've got Asa Gray.
Yes.
Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. See, this week we're just going to jump right into it because we are on a smidge of a time crunch. Michael Rooker. A little bit of a fix from last week. We found out basically the night of the show.
Yeah, literally that night it got the news thing went through and I was just like, son of a gun.
Yeah, we just told a whole bunch of people a lie.
I didn't say gun.
Yeah, no. Michael Rooker has denied being King Shark or being involved with the Suicide Squad at all. So,
which bummer, because put him in everything.
Right?
My opinions of the man are unchanged.
Yeah, no, that's I want him and like in that movie just because him and James Gunn clearly are magic together.
Right.
And granted, like Michael Rooker is great by himself, but just boy, that Guardians of the Galaxy.
Good so good.
Yondu. oh God, sorry about that, folks. I'm gonna give Asa the floor right now, because I want to get this out of the way, because I want to make sure he has as much time as he wants. That's not the entire show.
Well, bad news.
John Wick 3 released this weekend. Asa's the only one at the table that's gotten a chance to see it. So, Asa, I yield the floor to you, buddy.
See it. Full price. Every day. Forever. Beat Avatar. Beat Endgame. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I still need to go back and watch 2, though, because I haven't done that yet.
So, if you're not aware of the franchise, because I had a bunch of people like at CCW last night,
what's
even be like,
"John Wick."
Oh, you're gonna be mad at me. I haven't seen it. It's like, no, I'm not mad at you. I feel sad because you're not living your best life. John Wick 1 is just an unabashed, unapologetic, beautiful action movie.
Yes.
That has a little bits of traces of cool stuff in the background. John Wick 2 is that, except they've like, oh, we've got something really cool here with this environment, with these rules and everything. We're going to like really flesh that out and introduce some new elements. And then John Wick 3 is just like a amazing continuation, you know, direct sequel.
They're just continuing
to the second
to build one, as opposed to let's make this a cash cow.
Exactly. Because it's still like the action scenes are amazing. The things Keanu Reeves can do are unparalleled. Like, it is some of the legit best fight choreography, best action scenes I've ever seen. Halle Berry, I was kind of concerned going in because I'm not a huge fan of hers. She plays a very brief role, and what she does is fine. I kind of realized, I think part of why I love John Wick so much is because it's pro wrestling.
Pretty much.
there's a handicap match. There's some obvious spots where you're like, you got to kind of suspend disbelief. But it doesn't matter. It's so good. I love it so much. The story is phenomenal. I won't spoil it for 2 for anybody, but it's really, really good. And my favorite part about it is we're getting a John Wick 4, baby. At least we had better.
You guys, moments like this is why I kind of wish we had video, because
his
like,
face is just completely lit up.
He is glowing.
Yeah. Y'all, I love this movie. I love this franchise. If I had to rank them, I think John Wick 1 is my favorite John Wick movie. John Wick 2, I think, might be my favorite John Wick movie. But then my favorite John Wick movie is John Wick 3.
It just builds as it goes.
Because they all build on the other ones. Like, I was a little bit bummed that I didn't get to, because my internet's been down. So I was wanting to rewatch using Justin's Plex to go back and rewatch 1 and 2. Because I can't find my Blu-rays for the first 2 movies.
Mm.
I think I have an extra Blu-ray disc. No case or anything to it.
Because I think
for
I might have
John Wick 1 or 2.
I think I lent them out because everyone should see these movies. And I'm at this point, I've lost track of where they are.
Because I remember finding, because I have John Wick 1 and 2. Like, I own both of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
you'll
I've
just
got,
have to buy the 3-pack when this one comes out and they release it in
4K. And then I'll buy a 4-pack, and then I'll buy a 5-pack, and then I'll buy, because like a John Wick movie every year for the rest of time. We know Keanu's immortal.
Yeah. I mean, have you looked at that man's pictures?
And even if he's not, use something to reanimate his corpse and just like...
Just keep at it.
I don't care
We're
if it
not
starts...
sure that that hasn't happened already.
I don't care if it starts the zombie apocalypse. If it means I get an extra John Wick movie, even trade.
yeah, no, I just... So the point is, I have somewhere in my apartment, I don't know what we did with it now, like it's probably still on the shelf, no case, just a disc for John Wick that's just sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
We think it might be Stevens, but he's already said it wasn't his a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe him. Because he keeps forgetting to check his case at home.
Oh, okay.
but he's like, no, I'm pretty sure I've got mine. Oh, I don't think you do, buddy. I think it's right here. Because the funny thing is, like, I think it's John Wick 2. And Andrew and I both own that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is the first John Wick movie. We both mm-hmm. own that movie. So there are currently three discs for John Wick 1 in my apartment.
It's still not enough to have in a home.
You need to have at least two for each person and an extra.
If I win the lottery, I'm pumping a bunch of money into the show. I'll pump a bunch of money into CCW. And then I'm going to go to hotels across the nation and replace the Bible with John Wick DVDs. Because
you just need to buy a hotel chain.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and you that's can. That's your first
change. Probably
change.
Easier. That's probably easier. but yeah, no, I give it full price. If you know what you're going, if you know what you're getting into, like these, I know these movies aren't for everybody because, you know, this is my blind spot. It can do no wrong. But it's still a fantastic action movie. There are some amazing fight scenes. They kind of crank up the gore a little bit because the first two have their moments.
Yeah.
But nothing truly like, inducing. Yeah. I can think of three off the top of my head that I was like, oh dear.
So they have upped the ante.
Some of the CGI on some of them are, you know, it's not perfect. But I don't care. It's John Wick. And like I said, there were a couple moments that gave me a little bit of pause of just like, oh, that probably took a little bit longer than it needed to in this high-paced fight scene. But again, and it's so, and I realize it's like, this is stuff that I would be nitpicking at, like, if
in
it was
any other
franchise. Oh, if this was Star Wars, I would be nailing it to the wall. But it's not. It's a good franchise. It's John Wick.
Like, I'll admit, I'm one of those people that I will get bored during an action film if there's too much fighting.
Yeah,
because I get bored, but I really liked the first one. It kept my attention. Mm-hmm. So,
and I will say the set pieces are varied. There's a lot of different styles. Like there's a lot of hand to hand. There's a lot of gun combat. There's a lot of a mix of both in various places. Different, you know. It's really, really well done. And also, just, you know, before I get any angry DMs, you know, I love Star Wars, but all things pale to the glory of John Wick.
Folks, don't try to argue with him on this. Like, it will just...
He'll just continue to go with the smile on his face, and you will lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's...
unabashed enthusiasm.
It's one of those things, like, trying to argue with a zealot in any fashion is just, it's not going to happen.
Yes.
all right. But I
those
mean,
people are wrong, and I am right.
I get it. I have that franchise, too. it's not John Wick. It's very kind of similar. It's along the same vein.
Baby John Wick.
Baby. Oh. much cooler John Wick, more like it. Anyway, Robert Pattinson
Curl.
Is the front runner to play Batman. With Nicholas Holt also in the running. But, yeah, Robert Pattinson. I prefer to think of him as a Hufflepuff. Always. Good old Cedric Diggory.
I was gonna say he was Cedric, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was in like half a Harry Potter movie, wasn't he?
yeah.
I mean,
was he so was
three
he,
quarters.
Was he in the first three? Because I don't like I
he
don't
was
remember
in the books, but he wasn't actually in the
yeah,
films.
Cedric Diggory didn't play much of a role until book four.
Right.
And then he played a big role.
He played a huge role.
Right. So I didn't know, like, did they have him cast like through 1, 2, and 3, or did they only bother to cast him in 4?
That I honestly don't
Cause
remember.
I've only seen a handful of the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, because I know like he plays a pretty insignificant role in the first three books.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they excluded him completely from the first three movies.
Or at least maybe even change the casting to a...
Yeah, because he's also, like, he's a year ahead of Harry, so he wouldn't have been hanging out in any of their classes or anything. So...
Because I don't remember any other interaction, because I know when that character came in, I personally haven't read the books, but I have friends that were obsessed. And so...
Have friends
I would, well, yes, but at the time, I didn't know you, Jesse.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just saying, it's still happening.
But yeah, it was the case of, I'm like, okay, well, explain this to me, because I don't know what's happening.
Cedric Diggory was played by Robert Pattinson, at the very least, in the fourth film. He did not reprise his role.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Contract negotiations?
Yes.
Yeah, that was it. Anyway, but yeah, most people know him as the glittery vampire from the Twilight franchise.
Which I still refuse to watch.
Which is fine, like, but he's done other stuff. He's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of really good stuff.
But a lot of people know him as.
They just get overpowered by the sparkly.
Which, but at the same time, like, so all the people getting their panties in a twist, because I don't like Sparkle Vampire from 10 years ago.
Well,
like, look at, I don't like Brokeback Mountain Dude as Joker. That doesn't make any sense. I don't like Mr. Mom as Batman. What? That didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up and see what happens.
Yeah.
In fairness, though, like, we used that argument for Jared Leto as Joker.
Yeah, and that was and for all the problems that DC, the movies have had, the casting has not been one. And I don't think that, like, Jared Leto is a misstep, sure. But I also don't know how much I don't know how much influence he really had on that character. Like, if he was just given, like, hey, this is what we want the Joker to be, and it didn't matter who they cast as that, that's just, the behind-the-scenes stuff was stupid. And
yeah, but I mean, and what I'm saying, though, is that, like, because I don't necessarily agree that casting has not been an issue, because, I mean, just the example off the top of my head, as much as Will Smith did great as Deadshot, Will Smith is not Deadshot. Like, I still think that was terrible casting, but it worked because Will Smith is great.
So what you're saying is just Suicide Squad is the outlier.
Suicide Squad is definitely an outlier. And it's honestly because of writing.
Yeah.
Like, Christopher Nolan, as a director, made that Joker. And I don't remember who wrote those movies. Because I don't think Christopher Nolan wrote the movies, too. I think he just directed.
Oh, I'll look that up. But I think
he might have also written it. But regardless, like, that writing for the Joker was perfect. The direction was perfect. So, yeah, like, and Heath Ledger did a phenomenal job.
Uh-huh.
Like, and I don't have anything against that, but what I'm saying is, like, I have a feeling that the Nolan trilogy is going to be the exception and not the rule for, like, don't question casting. Because DC is not, DC as a whole.
What about 89 Batman?
You're talking about Keaton?
Yeah.
I mean, I liked Keaton, but
people were mad about Keaton.
Oh, yeah, that's fair, too.
Like, yeah, granted, I wasn't around for it, but you can go back and, like, some of those reactions that, and, like, of the press were nailing them with.
Fair, because, yeah, I wasn't around then either. I didn't know that people were upset about Keaton, because, I mean, Keaton did fine.
I don't think I understood what Batman was back then.
Fair. I was 1 year old.
89, I was 6.
the point is, though, like, certain writers, producers, directors, they get carte blanche. Like, anything that comes out of the MCU casting, like, if they decided to cast Will Smith as something, it's like, I trust this. This is going to be great. But the Warner Brothers and DC they don't have that yet. Like, they lost that trust a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're like, Christopher Nolan's back. Then I'm like, okay, I trust your casting.
Nolan did write, he's at least credited to writing the screenplay and writing all three of the Batman movies.
Okay,
with
cool.
Other, like, David Goyer was Batman Begins, and then Jonathan Nolan did Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises with him.
Okay, so yeah, regardless, like, Christopher Nolan then, I trust him.
Well, and Matt Reeves is a really good director, too. Like, I haven't seen him, but I've heard really nothing but, like, the general consensus for the Planet of the Apes movies, which I guess he's probably most well known for, are, why are these this good?
Fair. So, yeah, I mean, this could be, like, and I'm not trying to say that Robert Pattinson is going to be a terrible Batman. Like,
right.
I think, basically, my point is that I think it is less up to the actor and more up to the writing and direction, whether or not the character will,
whether they're going to work.
Yeah, whether or not that actor will succeed in that role is up to the writing and the direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it has.
And I'm not saying you can't have hesitations about it, like, at all.
Yeah.
My point is the people who think they're super edgy because, oh, like Twilight.
Yeah.
Like, if that's your only argument,
you have no argument.
Go sit down. The grown-ups are talking.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson is a fine actor. Like, he's that movie, the Twilight series, it did exactly what it was supposed to do. And sure, like, I haven't seen the movies.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is he really phoned it in. And so did, what's her name?
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart that was with him. Yeah, my understanding is they both phoned it in, but those movies also made a ridiculous amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Because and of screaming little fangirls.
They appealed exactly to who they were trying to appeal to and exactly the way they were trying to appeal to them. So, yeah, I don't blame the actor for that in any way, shape, or form. Like, Robert Pattinson has had many other roles, and he's done perfectly well. Like, he's bordering on good in other things that I've seen. But
he's also not confirmed as Batman yet. Like, he's
it's just in the running.
Yeah, he just seems to be the front runner.
Yeah, because we could also get Beast from the most recent X-Men movies.
I'd be fine with. I mean, honestly, like, I'd be fine with either of those, especially because like this very much lends credence to the reports and the rumors that this is going to be a very young, like, this is Bruce Wayne very early in his Batmaning.
This is like year
career.
One Batmaning.
But then I saw someone post a picture of a side-by-side of current-day Pattinson and current-day Keaton, and it was, just give us Batman Beyond,
which
you cowards.
Which would be awesome. I would be all for that.
Which, again, Keaton's not that old.
No, but
he can play an old guy real well, though.
Oh, yeah, no. I like, he could play anything real well.
Yeah.
But yes, give me that. Now I'm going to be a little bit upset. Now
I'm going to be a little upset when it's not Batman Beyond.
Because really is a... That could be a fantastic chemistry there. Well, not chemistry, a dynamic.
Because, like, I think Pattinson would make a much better Terry McGinnis than I think that he would a Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. But, like, not that he can't play a very young Bruce Wayne, but I think that he would be perfect for Terry McGinnis.
Right.
Because he does have, like, I think the dude's almost 30. If not, like, in his 30s. But he definitely can, like...
So, I mean, in Hollywood, he could still be a high schooler.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, he could be a transfer student on Riverdale tomorrow.
I mean, there are two of the actors in Riverdale are in their 30s, like, that are in high school.
Yeah, I wasn't exaggerating. I
know. Yeah, no,
giving an actual example.
I know you were. I didn't know if the crowd knew you were. but, yeah, that's... Robert Pattinson absolutely could do that, because he definitely still has that that agelessness. Because even Tom Holland is almost 30. No, he's in his mid-20s.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Tom Holland is...
He's older than you would think. He has that eternal 12-year-old syndrome as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's BS is he's going to grow a beard in like 2 years and just be like
he's
the
look
most
weird.
Handsome person.
No, I can't see him with a beard. That's just going to be weird looking.
No, I can picture it. It's going to be glorious.
I could definitely picture it.
Because again, he's a man, not a teenager growing in whatever I got going on here. Just like...
Ace of Gray, 30-year-old man. Not quite.
Still 29.
Sorry, he's still 29.
I got a month. Well, less than a month.
You haven't joined our 30 club yet?
Next month.
About 20-something days.
I mean, it's literally no different.
No, yeah.
At all.
I don't care. Except after watching John Wick and thinking like, man, I want to be an awesome kung fu badass. And then when I stood up, I was like, oh, I've been sitting wrong. My back is sore. And I wish that was a joke. Oh, God, I wish that was a joke.
It's okay. Every time I kneel down to help a customer with shoes, my knees pop now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, getting old is great.
I know, right?
We're still so young. Oh, it's disgusting.
There's so many more years and aches to happen. So anyway, we also have from that film, reportedly, we're going to get Penguin and Catwoman.
So we're redoing Batman Returns.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I meant to... I meant to look up that other because I saw another name that could have been a villain in there, but I want to make sure that was
part of that headline.
I want to see where that came from before I.
Fair enough, because yeah, the headline that I saw was just those two, and then it also mentioned Josh Gad as the a hopeful for Penguin,
which that had been rumored for pretty much since Matt Reeve took over. Like it's always been kind of like he's always been in the conversation of Penguin.
Yeah.
Because they're completely, you know, they had to redo the script multiple times, and they're just like tanking whatever Ben. I almost said Matt Damon, but Ben Affleck was working on.
Because they have completely scrapped that script at this point. Like they were going to use it as a rough outline, and then they're just like, you know what? Never mind. We can't do this. I think Josh Gad would be fine as Penguin, though. Like that's that could be a cool casting.
I will as much grief as I give. Gotham?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The
Christopher Taylor Lloyd, Robin Lloyd, Robin Lord Taylor. I'm butchering his name.
Robin Lloyd Taylor.
I think it's Lord. I think it's Robin Lord Taylor.
Robin Lord?
I think.
I can look that up.
But he's like, his take on Penguin, at least in the early seasons, because that's all I've seen so far, but I've heard he just, you know, he stays consistently amazing.
And everything that I watched, he stayed pretty consistently great.
Because that's one. That's another one. Like, so I'm in season three of Supernatural for my rewatch, because I'm gonna try to power through.
Yeah, I've started 14 finally.
Gotham is another show that I kind of want to just like, for the comedy value, just like, this is what I'll do. Like, it's over now. Yeah. So there is a cut finish. There's a set finish line.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, like, I could see Gotham being a show that I could binge watch.
And that's kind of what I want to do with it, too. Is like, I want to watch it, but it's something I'm going to have on while I'm drawing Pokemon.
So. Right. I think that show is one that I could binge watch. But I know, like, for me, when I stopped watching Gotham, I stopped being excited for the show to, like, to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would hit. Also, I don't have internet, so I can't look up anything.
Good job.
I mean, like, I think the internet is just down in this studio. I got to a point where it's like, I had my list of shows on Hulu and stuff that I needed to watch, you know, like, because Hulu keeps up to date with, like, you know, these are the shows,
like,
you're watching, and this is the stuff.
100 plus episodes of the show that you have not watched.
Yeah, well, and Gotham was doing that thing where, like, after they only had the most recent 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm, so if you miss something, you're boned.
Yeah, so if you waited for 6 episodes to release, then you missed an episode. And it got to a point where, like, I missed 6 episodes, and I was like, ah, crap, I missed one. And then I looked, and it was like, I had actually missed 2. And I was like, oh, clearly I don't actually care about this show.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like I was behind on all of my shows.
You were behind on that show.
I was behind on Gotham. So.
And it is Robin Lord Taylor.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because like I said, I cannot get, I think the internet is down.
Yeah, I had to
turn
off my Wi-Fi here too.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm just cursed.
I can't say. Well, no, we had problems with it last night too. It randomly cut off. I power cycled everything and it came back up. But we might just be having troubles here. I know Charter is apparently having troubles in the area. So
yeah, 5 days.
That's a Charter issue.
Apparently.
Oh, gross.
So and then we've had no internet at my house for 5 days.
Right.
And 3 days in a row now, they've said they were going to send someone, and no one's showed up.
That's unfortunate.
So I'm about to get my roommate's information. And I'm about to get some stuff done.
Yeah, no, then just head to the office.
No, the office can't do stuff. The office is, like, useless.
Not in my experience.
Really? The only thing I've gotten them to do is, like, gotten them to revert my bill back to the, like, new stuff. But when I've needed actual, like, support, like, someone to come to my house, they've done nothing.
Oh, they had,
because they've tried, like, they've even said that they don't have any control over any of that.
Well, maybe they don't anymore because, like, the last, because I haven't had to
years ago, like when I was living on my own for the first time.
Oh, wow. No, because they definitely have since then, because I've gone in there and it's like, hey, I'm having a problem with this. All right, we'll get a text sent out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
How does they look in their computer this time sound? All right, cool. That'll work. I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, like maybe they didn't used to be able to, but can now.
Yeah, maybe.
Might
something.
Check that out. Either way, moving on. James Wan's Mortal Kombat movie to begin shooting in Australia this year.
Yes.
We don't know when exactly, but it's happening this year. And
gimme.
We still don't know, like, any of the details about it other than it's happening. James Wan is directing.
I mean, do we really? James Wan is doing a Mortal Kombat movie. What other details do you need?
There's nothing I need to be excited about it, but there's a lot more stuff that I want.
Oh yeah, no, like I of course want to know the cast. I want to know everything about it. But for the preliminary of just, hey, it's happening,
this
and
is a
here's
thing.
Who's doing it.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, that's enough to inspire hype right there.
Gimme.
Like this might make a mention or three on the hype train in June.
What we all know is what's happening is that the Aces Mortal Kombat Minute will not die. It is the Matt Hardy segment of Nerd Up. It is eternal, much like my love for John Wick. You know who would be a great character in Mortal Kombat for DLC?
All right, so all that relaunch
John Wick.
To begin in June.
Zoner Nightmare.
June 15th with the Jonas Brothers.
So many mix-ups.
We're going to get Good Burger. We know at least two bits that we're getting. We're getting a Good Beggar sketch with Kel Mitchell. He's coming back for it. I don't know if he's sticking around, but he's at the very least coming back for it. I kind of don't want him to stick around. Same thing with Lori Beth Denberg is getting a Vital Information.
Which I love bit. Vital Information.
Yes, especially, well, I love Lori Beth's Vital Information.
Yeah, not Danny Tamarelli, not so much.
Yeah, no, his Vital Information, it was very different. Like, he definitely made it his own.
Yeah.
It was very different. I just didn't like it. Like, I didn't like that style.
My understanding from things I have read in the past is they are purely like guest spots. It will still have an all new, like, younger cast that they're introducing.
Okay.
Which, as far as that goes, I think these first few episodes, they're bringing old cast members back to kind of help with the hype, to get people watching initially, and then to bring in the new skits, the new characters, stuff that way.
Which, the funny thing is, like, they're trying to, like, the only reason, like, that would build any hype is for parents to, like, our age.
Be like, hey, watch this.
Exactly. Make their kids watch it. Because, like, obviously the kids, they don't know who Kel Mitchell is or Lori Beth Denberg.
Yeah, they have no affinity to the All Out. Or other than
a few
name.
Specials that they've done on Nick and Splat, like, anniversary yeah. shows. And there's been a couple random pop-up, like, Nick game shows that they've come back on. And stuff that way.
And any of that is mostly just like a, like, that's more a favor for them.
Them.
Like, uh-huh. Lori Beth and Kel or whoever else they yeah. brought back. It's more a favor to those people. And then possibly, you know, a little bit of a nod towards, like, you know, if any parents are watching with their kids.
The good
that are
old
our
days
age,
of Nickelodeon.
They're just like, oh, look, it's Lori Beth Denberg. That's neat.
Because, like, this got posted and I was like, and I couldn't help but not be like, I wasn't like thrilled about it, just because it's like, I don't know who this is going to be for.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're like, you guys said, they're bringing in Kel and Lori Beth to bring people in, but like, all that is not meant for people our age.
No, it was the kids' version of SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if they're trying to bring in, you know, the younger kids, like, they don't care about.
And that was the point
so
that I was making.
Like, that could be, you know, you could hope for that, you know, the parents kind of like, oh, hey, let's watch this together. And then I will never want to watch this again, because I don't know. There was a brief window where a bunch of all that was put on YouTube
uh-huh.
before it, of course, was taken down. And I watched about 10 minutes of two episodes. And my takeaway was, oh, children are dumb. Mm-hmm. I was a dumb,
well,
dumb child.
That's the other thing I may
because
be hoping.
I loved this.
Uh-huh.
And watching it now was painful.
Well, I remember when I watched it, I liked certain skits. And then other ones, I just kind of like, okay, just get past it and then you can mm-hmm. watch the good skit,
because yeah. There are still some skits that, like, I can go back now and watch and mm-hmm. still think is funny. But then there are other skits, like
Kenan Thompson in the bathtub pretending to be French.
Oh,
okay,
I like those ones.
Are still funny to me,
where it's just made up crap other than maybe like a third of what he's saying is actually French.
No, yeah, that's still funny to me. Because I rewatched some of that. But no, like, I imagine anything with Principal Pimpel will not be near as
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, no. That was kind
of
gross.
Or, like, any of the stuff with, like, the pizza or Pizza Face.
That was with Ear Boy.
Ear Boy and Pizza Face.
Y'all remember way more about all that than
yeah.
I do.
I watched that. Like,
but
it
yeah,
was
the
a religious thing to
me. The Good Burger skits were
me.
Always awesome. Repairman was
man,
hilarious.
Repairman.
I liked the Island Girls, even though they were annoying as fuck.
But yeah, no, like, I definitely can go back and watch a lot of it for, like, nostalgia purposes, like the really good skits,
mm-hmm.
And recognize that it is not, like, targeted
no.
towards me.
No.
But, like, I could still enjoy them, like, out of pure nostalgia, if nothing else. And that's the same thing with, like, Good Burger. I even rewatched the Good Burger movie a few years ago.
I don't
ago.
Think I ever watched the Good Burger movie to begin with.
Oh, man. That movie is still solid. I don't care what you say. Sinbad was great.
Forgot he was in that.
Yeah, he is. You know, it's an all around fun movie. I'm not gonna say good movie. You will
no.
not get me to say that.
It's entertaining.
But it is an all around fun movie.
You know what a good movie is, Jesse?
John Wick.
And two and three, and now the bit can go longer because there's more movies.
Anyway, bless you, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Our numbers grow.
All right, so yeah, June 15th, though, if you want to watch that premiere of the redone All That, probably with your kids, or if you're like mm-hmm. us that don't have any, shamelessly watching Nickelodeon later.
Throw Kel Mitchell a rating.
Yeah, right.
The boy needs it.
The boy needs it.
Have you seen the pictures of his son?
No.
It's literally him when he was younger. Yeah, that's fantastic. Like it's literally a clone.
Hopefully he makes an appearance on all that. but yeah, no, and I know Kenan Thompson is producing.
Yes.
So oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool because, I mean, obviously he has a very successful career at this point as an SNL.
He has the current longest running record
for SNL.
Yeah,
I believe that because he has been around for a while, and he does great in SNL. Like mm-hmm. Keenan's one of my favorite parts of SNL now, and he was one of my favorite parts of all that back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then Keenan and Kel.
That's just a person that's got funny in his bones.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Except now that whenever I hear all that, all I hear is his SNL skit of "What's up with that?"
And then Heavyweights. That was the other movie that he was in. And yep. Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks was his first film.
Quack. Quack.
Quack. I love Keenan. You know, that's just a funny dude. Like, I want to be friends with him in real life. except, like, I feel like if I did, it would probably just be, like, I would get disappointed, and I don't want that in my life.
Right.
But, like, turns out he's just a dick. I don't think he is, but, like, that would be my luck. Like,
but you're just constant fawning over him and just like total,
he's
just
like, man, back off.
Eyes wide, just like big old smile on your face, just all the time, like waiting for him to say something funny. He's just like, dude, you're weirding me out. Not his fault.
Not his fault at all. That would be on me.
Right.
That's not on Keenan. I wouldn't say he's a dick for that.
I only wanted a picture. You can't disappoint a picture.
All right. So anyway, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids getting a reboot.
Why?
I don't know. Like that's God. One of the things, like I see this comment all the time and I can't agree with it more.
I liked the first one and it needed to just stop.
Yeah, pretty much.
After that first one.
Why reboot good movies?
Yeah.
Like find movies that were terrible.
Get a fair shake.
Yeah, exactly. And just find movies that were terrible and reboot those, like with a good premise and reboot those. Like I know it's way easier to just like
this made money. Let's do it again.
Right. But then you make a worse version of it.
Honestly, they need to just retire Rick Moranis' jersey. Like, you don't need to redo anything that Rick Moranis has been in.
No.
Like, that's off limits.
It was just gold.
So
yeah, you can add on to that universe, but you cannot reboot it.
Which it's not a full reboot. They're calling it a legacy sequel.
Because it's supposed to be it's one of the kids that was in the movie.
It's one of his kids is now an adult and has become a scientist.
And hasn't learned from his father's mistakes.
Yeah, apparently. So.
So, yeah. Well, Josh Gad's going to be in it. That dude's all over the place right now. Penguin, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids' his careers. Screwed.
Oh, he's still raking in that Frozen money.
Yeah. Yeah, and will for the rest of time.
And he's about to get that Frozen 2 money, I'm assuming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, almost certainly. So yeah, let's see. And then speaking of Disney, though, has full control of Hulu from Comcast.
Yeah, that just popped up out of nowhere.
Did it, though?
Kind of.
I mean, because we knew that Disney had been wanting to acquire the rest of Hulu.
Well, and because,
don't pay attention.
Fox had such a stake in Hulu.
So they already had.
Disney buys Fox, so...
Yeah, and Disney already had a little bit of Hulu, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, then they bought Fox.
They're up to 93%.
About to say that, like when they had Fox, when they got Fox, they had a controlling stock in Hulu, and now Comcast has just like given them their like rights, basically.
Basically.
Like Comcast still has stake in it, and apparently with the agreement they've made, like it's now a done deal that Disney owns Hulu almost entirely.
Yeah.
So, but it Comcast and Disney made a deal where, like, in the next 4 years, I guess, like, it's a trial run or something. Mm-hmm. But at any time in the next 4 years, Comcast can require Disney to fork over the cash for it, or Disney can require Comcast to take the cash for it and make it a final deal.
Yeah. And it has to be whatever like the fair market value.
Yeah, the fair market value. So yeah, that's just a weird thing that they're doing. And I guess if they do nothing at the end of the 4 years, they either renegotiate or it just goes back to Comcast. Like the rest of the stake.
Business is weird.
Yep. Yes, it is.
And Comcast is keeping all their like NBC Universal stuff is all still going to be on Hulu. Mm-hmm. So like no content is going away. At least not for now.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a weird move on Disney's part. after, like, you know, now that we've gotten all the official announcement and the pricing and everything else for Disney Plus.
See, I still think they're keeping it for their adult content because Disney Plus is like PG-13 and under.
Oh, okay.
Because it's all family friendly.
They said there's
Disney
not gonna
Plus.
They're not gonna host R-rated material on Disney Plus. So this could be an alternative. So even if they can't use like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Punisher, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, like they can't use those characters, we could see those Marvel TV shows continue on Hulu. Like get an R-rated Moon Knight series or you know what have you.
Yeah, because we know like
or once the Netflix deal expires, you know, bring those characters back.
Because we've already gotten, we know that we're getting more shows on Hulu. Mm-hmm. Like we knew about the what was it, Ghost Rider and Damon
Hellstrom.
Hellstorm or Hellstrom, yeah. But also called Hellstorm.
Mm-hmm.
So we know like those shows are coming, and those are almost certainly going to be
more adult themed than what they're confident putting on Disney Plus.
Right. Then again, I mean,
or could be, or like, you know, Blade would be another series that would go great on Hulu.
Yeah, as a like a rated R series/movie, and then we know they're still putting The Runaways on Hulu as a Hulu exclusive, and apparently that's been really successful. I really enjoyed the first season, but I have not watched the second one yet. So I mean, there's a lot of potential there for that, like for them to do stuff on Hulu that's not you know the Disney Plus stuff.
Plus, if you split it, then you're encouraging. You know, you're basically doubling
double
your revenue.
True. We put shows exclusively on this and exclusively on this, then they have to buy both.
Is it frustrating? 100%. Are people still going to bite the bullet and pay for it? Because they're still... My 12 subscription services is still better than having to deal with a cable company.
Yeah.
Probably. So...
You know, like,
We are very much hitting that, like, that testing limit of... I think it was you that was talking about it, of Netflix comes out, oh, I guess I don't need this anymore, putting away the pirate hat. And then it's all of the streaming services on the screen. Hello again, old friend.
Yeah. Because it could get kind of ridiculous. As of right now, like I'm paying for 3 streaming services each month. And I'm getting everything that I want out of, you know, whatever I could get with cable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for significantly less, and I don't have to deal with a cable company.
Yeah.
So, other than for internet, obviously, but that's whatever. That's fine. And I don't have to have a cable box. I don't have to deal with any of the shenanigans that cable companies like to pull. I just have to deal with shenanigans that the streaming services like to pull, and usually they are far less
annoying.
Shenanigan-y.
Other than, like, rotating stuff and...
Right.
Changes have been very minimal, though. Like...
Yeah, I mean, like, I think I'm paying $5 more for Netflix than I was in... 2011.
Yeah,
but I'm fine with that. Like, it's not that big of a deal to me.
My only issue with that is the amount of content, the way that I watch Netflix and the content I watch on Netflix. They've lost a lot of it.
Yeah,
and it's all
gone
to Hulu
way more than what I do on Netflix.
So they're like, Netflix is honestly like 3 or 4 shows away from me just cutting it.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I don't
except
care
except for the fact that they haven't released all of Ultron on DVD yet. And She-Ra is still running. Like, honestly, those are about the only things I've been watching on Netflix.
Because I don't watch a lot of
Jessica
originals.
Jones season 3 eventually.
Oh, yeah, no, like, that's coming this year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's supposed to. I'm surprised we haven't gotten a trailer.
Yeah.
Like, that's really shocking to me. But regardless, yeah, we're supposed to get that sometime this year. No, the Netflix original content will be enough for me to keep it around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, it's definitely starting to lose, like, anything non-Netflix... is starting to go away, and that's becoming a problem. But it's still getting the CW content because they still have that contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I take that back. I'm watching Supernatural on there right now.
And then, you know, that has all of those DC shows that I like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, I'll probably keep Netflix around at least for a while for
that. Are those shows on the DC streaming platform?
They're not.
No? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's because CW has an exclusive deal
with
Netflix.
That makes sense.
So yeah, and like I really, really like CW's deal with Netflix. Like a week after the season ends, the whole season
yeah,
is on Netflix. Nice. Yeah. I wish more companies would have done that deal with
as before
Netflix.
You had to wait until it came out on DVD and Blu-ray before it would get popped on there.
Because for a lot of places they will not. Yeah, like it's like Lindsay said, a week before or a week after rather the DVD's release, that's when they show up on Netflix, which is still like 2 weeks before the new season starts.
Yep.
Is usually their release order. So yeah, you gotta wait a real long
time
in some cases. So anyway, Doom Patrol, speaking of that DC streaming service, their pilot is now streaming on YouTube for free. DC is desperately trying to get people to jump on that DC Universe service. So they put, yeah, like on YouTube, it's on YouTube right now. You can find the Doom Patrol pilot. If you like it, then you can subscribe to the DC service, which is becoming more and more worth it.
Shannon and I just recently did. I'm finally getting to watch Young Justice
again. So good.
I just wish their comics, their comics thing matched Marvel Limited.
Yeah, at least they made a step closer. Mm-hmm. Now it's everything up to a year ago.
Right, which is
I wish their browsing options were better.
Unlimited is 6 months.
Definitely.
Ago.
Oh yeah, no, it's Marvel like, Marvel Unlimited. Like I said, they made a step closer. There's still quite a few steps back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they made that step close because a year behind in comics, that's a long time.
That's a lot of comics.
If you're only reading comics digitally through this subscription service, you're not going to read the end of Doomsday Clock until, like, 2055.
Ouch.
Oh, it's true. I was getting caught up on my comics yesterday, and I have Doomsday Clock 9 and 10. And I didn't read them because I know that I'm not getting 11 for like, or I'm not getting 11 or 12. I don't think I'll get 12 this year.
Yeah.
I do not think that in the year of our Lord 2019, except for issue 70.
Ooh, son of a gun. Okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
I got up to 70.
I know. I heard you.
All right. Anyway. Oh yeah. And then going back to CW there for a minute, we got a Batwoman trailer. Which I forgot to watch.
I didn't get to watch it yet.
It was
either.
Cool. I watched it twice, once with sound and once with partial sound because I was at work.
Mm-hmm.
It really kind of it looks like it's exploring her origins and her relationship with her father. Looks like I couldn't really tell, but I think it's going to be Mad Hatter. Seems to be the big opening arc villain. Huh. I don't know if it is going to necessarily be season wide. I forgot to look up her name, who they cast as Mad Hatter.
Okay, I was but about to
say. She's got the look down. But we really didn't get it. Actually, it might be Alice.
I was about to say Mad Hatter is definitely not a.
They both have very similar aesthetics, though.
Fair. But, you know, it's also one of those things. Like before I watched the trailer, I kind of want to see her. I guess soft pilot in the CW shows.
Didn't they do that in one of the crossovers?
They did. And I haven't seen them yet because they're not on Netflix yet.
Oh, gotcha.
But as soon as they're on Netflix, which surprises me, I figured the season would be over by now. Black Lightning ended a while back, and the new season of Black Lightning is on Netflix, and I've been getting caught up on that, and it's...
I forgot that had a show.
Black Lightning?
Yeah.
You should watch it. It's
okay,
great.
It's not Mad Hatter. It is Alice from the Alice in Wonderland gang.
Okay, cool. Okay.
There, it's just those aesthetics
that's a
are...
way more obscure character.
Yeah, but those aesthetics are so...
Well, yeah, they're extremely... Yeah, because they come from the same source material, so...
Yeah, they are targeting her dad, and so she's coming to help him, and Batman has left. They don't really say why, but Batman is very much a character. He is just absent.
He's being Batman.
Being Batman, and that's the problem.
No. I'm not dealing with you people, Batman.
And it kind of it teases the relationship with her ex-girlfriend, and so I mean it looks cool. I really dig Ruby Rose as the casting for that.
Yep. And apparently like I said, she did great in the soft pilot.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that yet, so.
Yeah. Yeah, like as soon as they add that to Netflix, cuz I do want to get caught up on Supergirl and Flash. And I'll inevitably watch the last season of Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
The defeat in your voice.
Are you caught up on Arrow? I thought you gave up on it.
Well, the last season that aired, and then there's one more season to come. I haven't watched either of those.
Okay.
I am caught up with what's on Netflix.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I watched it just because the crossover episodes had me a hair interested in what was happening in Arrow.
And I was disappointed again.
And I mean, I was really bored, so I was like, yeah, whatever. I heard the season was way better. I'll give it a shot. It was for the first half. And then it turned to booty. So, yeah.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. It went real... Like, it made a hard turn back to Felicity. And... Boy, I am so mad at those writers for making me hate that character so much.
Mm-hmm.
And Tanner, I'm sorry. I know you like her. The writer's done her dirty. It's bad. Anyway, on to comic books. This portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Check them out for all of your comic book and coffee needs. Marvel is going to cancel and relaunch the entire X-Men line. Jonathan Hickman is going to release, and I don't know if both of these are or just one of them, House of X and Powers of Ten. I know for sure it's Powers of Ten, but it might also be House of Ten, but they're both X's, but it might just be one of them might be an actual X, one of them might be the Roman numeral.
I thought they were both just X. It gets real hairy.
Oh, no, the Powers of Ten is definitely ten, is how it was supposed to be read, says Jonathan Hickman.
I'm going to say Powers of X. And if he wants to stop me, he is welcome to appear on an episode
like
of Nerd Up.
I feel if they're going
to
use the Roman numerals, they need to pop them bars on the top and bottom.
Yeah.
And not just make it the letter.
iPhone has also made that mistake. No one says the iPhone 10.
Because I think we...
say the iPhone
X. The iPhone X.
I mean, same thing with Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah, true.
Mortal Kombat X. And that's what James, or Ed Boon, said, like, no, it's Mortal Kombat X, even though it is the 10th game.
Yeah.
Anyway, like I said, he is welcome to show up on Nerd Up or Hype Train. Because did you read the full story?
Yeah.
This actually has me very interested.
Yeah.
I have a sneaking suspicion that it is going to be very similar with because they're essentially rebooting the X-Men not rebooting, but like they are reestablishing and relaunching what the X-Men are within the Marvel universe.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be a whole new era of it's one of those things. It's not really a mystery or anything like that. Like Marvel has just been kind of like they put X-Men on the back burner
because they couldn't make the movies
because they can't.
Yeah, because people may have noticed that a lot of the more prominent characters in the MCU have been getting a lot more attention in the comic books. Like when they were trying to make Inhumans happen, they're trying to make Inhumans kind of replace the X-Men in the comic books as well.
And that went over like a lead fart.
Yeah, it really did. So fortunately they gave up on that. Fantastic Four were completely gone from the Marvel universe for a while.
Because I actually just finished Secret Wars on Marvel Unlimited, which they at least gave them a cool reason to be gone.
No, like, they definitely did.
They're off screen, yet they are simultaneously the most important characters in the entire Marvel comic books.
Yeah, that's across every universe.
Yep.
Because spoilers for people who haven't read Secret Wars, they are, after Secret Wars happen, Reed Richards and co. are the ones that are rebuilding every single Marvel universe.
From the ground up.
Sheesh.
Yep. Yeah. So like they're
how... They better have a really big Lego set.
No, they got Franklin Richards.
So yeah, they're, they did get a cool exit, and you still got like... Ben Grimm and
Johnny Storm
were still hanging out in the Marvel Universe, but they didn't really have, for a while, they didn't have any books. They were just appearing in books.
Right.
It's like, oh, hey, I'm here.
It was Reed and Sue, the kids, and then Future Foundation.
Yeah.
Off
the board entirely. And then, yeah, X-Men's just kind of getting pooped on for a while. Like, they had a couple of, like, decent events, and, like, anytime they had, like, a good book going, like, it would just, I don't know, it was weird. Like, they would get. Yeah, weird.
They were done dirty.
They were done dirty. They were done real dirty. And now that Disney can capitalize on these things again, they're just Marvel in general is like, all right, so we're gonna get some hype back for X-Men soon. So we're just going to, which this also with the release of these books happening in late July after Far From Home, leads me to believe that something in Far From
Home.
Exactly
what I was getting ready to say.
I hope.
Is going to happen for X-Men because this has got to be. Otherwise, the timing on this is dumb.
Even if it's a tease at the end of the movie or
something.
So that
wasn't, right. That wasn't what I was going to say. What I was going to say is I think that they are going to integrate this Jonathan. Because apparently, this is Jonathan Hickman's idea. Like, this is something he's wanted. Like, this is something he wants to do. Because he was away from Marvel for a while.
Yeah.
This was how they got him back of, all right, we'll pitch us some ideas. And, like, this was the one that he wanted to do. So, but it wouldn't surprise me if he pitched these ideas because these meetings happened, you know, God knows when.
Yeah.
It was in January because I read Chip Zdarsky was like, he pitched this idea at the writers at this creative meeting and I walked over and slapped him in the face because it's crazy. It wouldn't surprise me if that's how they took cues from the comics and that's what integrates the Marvels now into the MCU.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll necessarily happen as soon as Far From Home, but because, like I said, I really, but I just think that they're not really going to do a whole lot to build to the next phase. I think this is just that final little cherry on top of Phase 4.
No,
phase
yeah. Three, it, phase 3. I mean, they're going to tease some stuff for Phase 4, though, at the very least in this movie, I'm confident.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think we're going to get that big of a tease.
No, yeah. But I do think that, like, the timing on this is a little coincidental. Mm-hmm. But either way, like, the timing is some kind of timing on this. Like, either we're going to find out about it in Far From Home, or we're going to find out about it sometime in September. Mm-hmm. Because September is when, like, these two books end. And apparently when the two books end is when we're getting the new era of X-Men. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense to me to attach that to, like, some hype around the movies so that they could increase, you know, comic
sales.
Unless
they're separate, in which case it would make sense to not try to tie those together, because there are still a lot of things in the MCU that are very different from the comics.
There are, but even though they are very different, you can very clearly see, like, a trend in what comic books are coming out compared to the movies.
No, yeah.
Like, that is definitely a thing that's been happening. Like, Captain Marvel got a relaunch, like, right before that movie hit. Mm-hmm. And it's been, like, I finally did read that first issue of Captain Marvel. I can see where it's going. I dig it. Mm-hmm. This seems like it could be really cool. Anyway, I don't know, like, if the timing is actually going to be anything or not, but regardless, July 24th and 31st, so they're a week apart, is going to be House of X and Powers of 10, or which House of 10, Powers of 10, whatever. That's when they're releasing, so make sure you get a copy reserved at your local comic shop, because I imagine they're going to be hot pickups.
Because, and then once those finish up, they're going to go into, like, the new, there's, like, I think two or three books planned already for the first wave. Because he even talked about, like, there's multiple waves to this. Like, this is not something that they're just like, we'll see what happens.
Right. Because we, like, X-Men has, like, for a long time gone with the two book philosophy. Like, usually they have a color attached to it for different teams, or, like, they'll have just two different names. Because, I mean, right now, like, they started this most recent one with, like, all right, we've got blue and gold. And then we've got X-Force, and then we've got this, and they're like,
and now red, and then black, and just,
and now we've got, like, currently there, I think there are like six X-Men books going right now.
But there's so many X-Men characters.
True. Yep. True.
Yeah, it's a tricky predicament.
Yeah. So they're all getting canceled though, and we're starting up with these.
Yep.
Which just makes me not want to read any of the backlog of X-Men books that I have. Because
it's just
now.
Like, yep. No, okay, I'm good.
Yep, so I'll just wait for House of X and Powers of 10. Future Foundation has been officially announced. So we talked about that a while back. Like, it was getting kind of a Shazam treatment, like Justice League got. It was just kind of in the back of another book. But now it is actually getting its own book. Number one is going to release in August with Jeremy Whitley writing and Will Robson on art. Also, Yondu's going to be in the book.
Huh.
So apparently he's going to be helping the Future Foundation with their goal, whatever that happens to be. Though, do keep in mind, folks, that while they will probably, like, change up Yondu's character a whole lot to more closely match what he was in Guardians, Yondu in general in the comic books is very different to what he is in Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So yeah, we'll see what they do with that. Like, it could be kind of cool. Yeah, that's, like I said, coming out in August. Also in August, is gonna be a big month for comic books, folks. July and August in general. Ghost Spider. So Spider Gwen. Right now she has the Spider Gwen Ghost Spider book. That's going to come to an end in August and be relaunched as just Ghost Spider number one. Looks like she is enrolling in college in the main Marvel universe, because she is Earth 65 is her current home, and it's a little bit different than 616, but apparently she's going to start going to college in 616, so that's going to cause some interesting stuff,
are
I guess.
So messed up.
Yeah, it was one of those things they did not expect Gwen to be that popular, like Spider-Gwen to be that popular.
It's like, oh, this will be a one-off? No.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, like, it was one of those things, like, they released the book, and people are like, holy crap, yes, please, Gwen Stacy is Spider-Gwen, this is awesome. And she has one of, like, the coolest spider costumes.
I mean, her outfit is kind of awesome.
Right? Like, it's just cool. And then, yeah, like, they gave her, they're like, all right, you know what, let's see where this goes, and they gave her a Spider-Gwen book, and it just, like, knocked it out of the park. And people are obsessed with this character. So I think they are slowly transitioning her to
over
the,
to the mainstream,
the main Marvel universe. And that's what this book is going to be. Because I think something horrendous is going to happen to Earth 65, which is her Earth, and she's just going to move over to 616.
It's like, bye, peace out.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a total world upending event to move characters over.
Nope.
Just... y'all are God. You can just do what you want.
That's they are doing what they want. They're bringing Gwen over. Because like that Earth 65 is neat. Like they've got Frank Castle as a cop that's kind of crazy. Matt Murdock ends up being like the mayor of New York City, also the leader of the Hand. Kind of just an evil dude. And it's really cool, like seeing Matt Murdock as like basically he is the kingpin. Like in Earth 65, and seeing Matt Murdock as the kingpin is both just... terrifying and awesome. Like I highly recommend Spider-Gwen, guys. Like it's a fun ride, and the art is really really neat, very unique to that book. Anyway, so yeah, in August, that's what's going to be happening with Gwen. And then Neil Adams is working on Batman versus Ra's al Ghul. It's going to be a 6-issue miniseries starting August 21st. Apparently, terrorists are taking over Gotham, and Ra's volunteers to help, succeeds. And now Ra's al Ghul is this, I guess, super prominent savior in Gotham, and now Batman's got to deal with that. My bet is that Ra's was behind the terrorist attacks.
Probably.
No, not Ra's al Ghul.
It goes back to like that Far From Home where people is like, oh yeah, no, Mysterio, totally on the up.
The guy
up.
In charge of the League of Shadows.
This is totally not something
above board.
He planned.
Like, yeah, I don't.
Yeah. All right. So, boy, we do not have much time left. This is the last portion of our podcast brought to you by Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content, including their social media links and podcast at ps2jshow.com. Treyarch is taking over for 2020 Call of Duty.
Which, yikes.
Yeah.
A little bit, because they always do that three-year cycle. Apparently, Jason Schreier has a good story about he has a great story on Kotaku about this.
I mean, in fairness, the three-year cycle didn't start until Advanced Warfare.
But it's been like that since Advanced Warfare.
Correct. Yeah, which I guess now is 2020 would be 6 years of doing that three-year cycle.
Yeah.
Which I think was necessary and definitely improved the quality of the games in general. There were certain other things that detracted from the games, but the games themselves, the gameplay like and everything.
Like having three separate teams doing three separate styles of game, that there wasn't a cohesive, like, Call of Duty feel.
I mean, like...
that kind of suffered, other than just, like, the shooting feels real good.
Yeah. The game looks real pretty, and you could definitely tell you're playing it's Call of Duty, and you could tell you're playing Call of Duty, but you could tell a different team worked on it.
Yeah.
But really, like, I was more talking about, like, how they handled microtransactions and stuff. Like, that has kind of suffered lately.
And that's what bums me out about this a little bit, is because, like, look at how hyped we were for Black Ops 4 and how much fun we had on that, but then you look at all of the total mismanagement of the season pass. People are running into the same problem of they're not finding enough people who bought it, so they're not seeing any of those maps they paid for.
Yeah.
Blackout was a success, but you know, it came at the cost of no single player and just the general the state of the microtransactions of purchasing the battle pass, purchasing, you know, you can buy those tiers. Then they introduced loot boxes with weapons in the loot boxes on top of the black market is no longer things that you can earn by completing challenges in the game. Now it's just straight up, hey, give us like $10 and you get a skin and a weapon skin and like one or two other dinky little nothings. And now Treyarch is just, hey, guess what? We're cutting in line.
Which I will say, like, of the recent like microtransaction model, or I guess however you want to call it, no, World War II was probably the best. Because I was about to say Black Ops 4 was a step up, but really I'm just thinking back to Infinite Warfare, which was just hot garbage.
Because those guns were broken.
Yeah, no, that was hot garbage. And Advanced Warfare wasn't much better.
And I mean, World War II was kind of cool because like they had those challenges you could do, and they rewarded you with cosmetic rewards. So it's like, hey, get 10 shotgun kills in, you know, this amount of time. Like, it's stuff like that, which I didn't get a lot of those because I wasn't as good as I would have liked to have been at World War II, but... It is what it is, but I also, like, I didn't feel like I was missing out, and it felt fair. Yeah. I was just like, hey, okay, you're at least giving me the opportunity to try to not to have to spend money. Everything you do, like, you have to put in so much time to go up a tier, and the number of tiers there are is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure even after they fixed it, it's still impossible. Not impossible. You can do it without paying
any
money.
If it was your full-time job, you could get to the final tier of...
Right, like if I gave up sleep entirely and I just decided to do Call of Duty during that period of time every day, then I could get, like, every tier.
Right.
But at least, like, the limited tiers were shorter, so you didn't have to get, you know, as far, like, all the way through it to get, like, the super neat holiday stuff. But either way, like, it was still, like, that was still a step up because it was mostly cosmetic. Entirely cosmetic, which I'm fine with. Like, I'm fine with... I wish the grind would have been more fair so that I could have gotten some of that neat late stuff in the tiers. Mm-hmm. But I was fine with how they did it. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We've got... hopefully, Infinity Ward can do a... I think that's what it's called, right? That doesn't sound right in my head.
No, it is, because it was Infinity Ward doing Infinity Warfare.
Yeah, no, Infinite Warfare. I don't know. It sounds weird. It sounds weird. anyway, it just doesn't sound right for some reason. But regardless, they're doing the 2019 game. We don't know what that's going to be. We'll likely find out at E3 what that Call of Duty is going to be. We'll see. And then, I feel like we're out of time here, but we have to talk about Super Mario Maker 2 real quick. Because
hype.
Like, yeah, we got the direct on that,
yeah.
And it's Mario Maker 2,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, basically, it's Mario Maker, like everything you loved about Mario Maker.
More stuff.
Yeah.
So much more stuff.
By order of magnitudes, more stuff that you can do.
I don't fully understand how because they're adding 3D World, which is cool, because there were a lot of really cool elements in 3D World, like the color-changing blocks and stuff like that, but it's all still 2D. So I don't fully understand why they couldn't implement that in... like all of the other games, because all of the other games that had individual assets, like the sun is only in Super Mario Brothers 3, but you can now put the sun in 1 or Super Mario World or any of those. Like, yeah.
Like, and it has a graphic for each.
Yeah.
Of them.
So maybe I don't go in from 3D to 2D, but there's even new Super Mario Brothers is in there. So I don't fully understand that. And that's kind of a bummer.
See it in action.
Right. But also worth noting that when they showed the spot for Super Mario 3D World, there was a blank, empty one there.
Uh-huh.
I want to know what that was.
Yeah,
I'm real curious. Also, like, online multiplayer, challenge modes,
co-op,
being able to, like, build the stage simultaneously. Like, they're just adding so much cool stuff.
That's going to get confusing
and messy. Mm-hmm. Orders of magnitude, though, like, more stuff in this game. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely going to be worth picking up on Switch. It's not going to just be a port. I would say, like, Mario Kart is an example of, like, it was a port with a few extra things, and it was a nice upgrade, and, you know, if you didn't get to play it on Wii U, it was absolutely worth picking up on the Switch, but this is definitely going to be I think it's fair to call this an actual sequel Mario Maker. Yeah, because there is that much more stuff in it.
Oh, it looks so good.
All right, and then just... quick rapid fire on the rest of the gaming news here. We'll wrap up the day. Ubisoft Skull and Bones has been delayed again. They're skipping E3 2019. Borderlands 3 confirmed playable offline, which I know for a lot of you that's a pretty big deal. WoW Classic release date is August 27th. And the Splinter Cell situation was a joke. That actually isn't happening. If any of you read that Splinter Cell is in the works, it's not. At least officially, it's not. There might
E3 could change things.
E3 could change things.
But again, going back to Jason Schreier, he says that unfortunately that is just a joke.
Yeah, but yeah, and going back for just a second, if any of you were looking forward to playing World of Warcraft again without looking for a group or
back to hard mode.
Oh my god. Yeah, ultra hard mode.
You don't get that horse till 40.
Yep.
We were watching a guy stream on the beta of it. He was level 19 and had 3 gold.
Yep. Yeah, money is insanely hard to get. Like, dungeons are hard to, like, meet up for. No, WoW Classic, I don't understand why people wanted this.
You don't get your little, hey, look on your map. Here's the little gold dot. This is what you need. Go here.
People were selling guides for hundreds of dollars.
From the original.
Back in vanilla WoW, how to get to 60 in 30 days. people were selling guides for that.
Oh, gee.
Wow.
Like, because like being able to get to 60 in 30 days, insanity.
Because yeah. you can argue that like the current state of WoW is a little handholdy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No,
and I get wanting
has.
To go back to, you know, have that sense of exploring and adventure and, you know, set very set
like,
pieces.
For me, I don't want to go back to those old character models. I like the current character models.
And, like, Azeroth itself has textures, changed. Though. And so, like, I get some of that. But, yeah, there's got to be, like, a middle ground of...
Please keep looking for group up.
Blind difficult of just, like, I have no idea what to do and... Dummy, just there, exactly there. Don't talk to anyone. It doesn't matter.
Like,
go pick up the thing.
We got Allie playing, and I feel like she's caught on way quicker than when I played because Shannon got me playing it before Burning Crusade came out,
Yep. And
I hated it at first.
Yep.
And then, like after a couple class trials, I finally found one I liked, and then I'm like, okay, yeah, cool, I'll play this game.
it's super fun once you get into it. But yeah, Classic was, whew.
It was hard.
It wasn't necessarily hard. It was time consuming because it was still fun,
mm-hmm.
except for dungeons. Dungeons were a nightmare
they
if
suck.
You didn't Sitting have a group.
Sitting in a dungeon for like 2 hours and it's like, I got to go to bed. I work in the morning.
Yeah, with the shaman that's like, I can tank and heal. Don't worry about it.
You're dead.
You can't. You really can't. All right. That's going to do it for us, folks. Thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.